This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
You know, folks, something is really screwed up when a large soda costs $1 and water is $2.50. I'm just saying. I'm John Potter. Power is out in the Reno studio, but we're still doing the show until the battery in John Potter's phone dies out. So this is exciting. It really, really is. Our next guest in the studio. This is a talk about worthy organizations like I was talking about earlier and why you should help them out. Adopt a Vet Dental. Have you heard of this? Eduardo Martinez represents Adopt a Vet Dental. Eduardo, God bless you, sir.
John, thank you so much for having us today. Yeah, we're Adopt a Vet Dental, and we're here to make sure that our veterans can get their smiles back.
You don't know how many, well, maybe you do, how many stories I hear from, well, just everybody, but a lot from vets about where do they go for dental care. Now, why is your organization necessary? Doesn't the VA take care of everything?
Unfortunately, that's not the case. When it comes to the VA, they're an incredible and super valuable partner when it comes to helping our veterans.
Yeah, I hear good reviews about the Reno VA. I've heard overall good things about them.
Oh, absolutely. They're amazing. However, when it comes to the way they're program works when it comes to dental care, it's very limited. You either have to have a 100% service-connected disability rating with the Veterans Administration, or have had some kind of injury to your mouth during service to get dental care from the VA. If you don't have one of those two criteria, you can't get dental from the VA at all. So that excludes 90% of veterans from ever getting dental care from the VA, and that's where we step in, especially when it comes to our low-income, impoverished veterans. We are their last chance to finally be able to get the dental care that they deserve.
So the need and the purpose of this is so valid. But how did it begin? I'm sure, of course, it's necessary, but is it local? How did this begin, Adopt a Vet Dental?
So it is local. We were founded right here in Reno, Nevada, by our two founders, Wayne and Linda Hay. They started this program about 13 years ago now.
Were they vets too?
They were not, but Linda's dad was a Marine Corps veteran that served during World War II. And in her capacity as working as the senior outreach coordinator for UNR, she came upon a building where there were 60 vets living there that were impoverished. Thankfully, they had a roof over their heads, but many of them had not had dental care for decades. And when she found them and she was in talking to them and asking them about the resources that they needed, a lot of them mentioned that they needed dental care because it had been decades since they were able to see a dentist. And that really started them down the journey to get to where we are today, 13 years later, to where we've been able to serve about 1,600 veterans so far. And that number is growing. And we've been able to provide about just under $9 million worth of dental care to our veterans, principally up here all in northern Nevada. We've recently expanded to the south, but we've stayed true to our roots. We started here in northern Nevada, and we are proud to be able to support our veterans here.
You have affinity for these folks because you yourself were in the Marines, stationed in Japan. What was your experience?
That's 100% correct. Yeah, I served in the Marines from 2010 to 2014. And in the Marine Corps, well, I would say this is really applicable to everyone in the military, but there's the motto of never leaving a fellow service member, whether it's a Marine, a soldier, a sailor, airman, whatever the case happens to be. We don't leave our brothers behind. And when I got out of the Marine Corps, I've been living here in the community for several years now, and I've constantly tried to find opportunities where I can continue living that mission of not leaving our brothers behind. So this is just one more opportunity to do that and take care of the veterans who really serve and protect our nation.
Do you have a dental office? Do you have dentists, or are you mainly a fundraising organization, Adopt a Vet Dental?
So obviously, as a nonprofit, we fundraise, but the way our program works is that when there's a veteran that either we interact with at an event, that gives us a call. We will pre-screen them and see if they qualify. And then we will actually partner that veteran with either our direct dental clinic that we operate at the campus of the Trucking Meadows Community College, or with one of the 145 dentists that we have partnered up with, where they will provide the pro bono dental care, and we will pay for all the expenses of that veteran's care, so that when the veteran finally sees that dentist, they know that they're not going to have to worry about the expense, because we're taking care of that piece for them.
From what I hear, Eduardo, about the situation with a lot of vets and the expense, you got to be swamped with calls.
Oh, we absolutely are, and that's what we want. And honestly, if you are a veteran who is needing that dental care and you don't have any dental insurance and you don't have the financial wherewithal to get dental care, give us a call. We want to serve you.
Folks, if you have perfect teeth, you probably don't know. I don't know if it's inflation or what, but I'm just stunned at the cost. My wife going in for she'll kill me. I'm not sure what it is. Deep root, whatever. I don't know. But we're talking $4,000 to $5,000. And we have insurance. And the insurance doesn't cover special operations, where extractions or putting in a new crown, things like that. I'm stunned. And I go around asking folks, and they say, oh, no, insurance companies don't cover those special procedures. So another reason why there's such a huge need, but thank God you do this for the vets. You said it's local, this organization, but is it part of a nationwide charity?
So we're actually the only program in the entire country that does what we do. We are the only program that does it here, both here in the state, but also, nationwide. Obviously, we would love to see something similar take place in the other states, but we're born and raised here in Northern Nevada, and we're making sure that we live up to the mission of our state in our motto of being battle born and also taking care of those who have borne the battle.
Since you are strictly local, don't you have, you have enough people to take care of here. Do you have a situation where people in California or other states hear about Adoptive Vet Dental and they come here being former Marines to get the treatments?
Unfortunately, we're not there yet. Right now, we're strictly limited to veterans living here in Nevada, or obviously one of our...
Well, yeah, you do what you can handle. That's fine enough for us, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And the biggest thing with our and also for anyone that contributes to our organization, is we want to be able to credibly go to them and let them know that the money that they're donating is staying local and serving those veterans that they see on a regular basis, whether it's their grandpa, their neighbor, maybe the veteran that was living down the street, whoever it happens to be. We want them to have that tangible ability to interact with someone that has been through our program.
Eduardo, how do you keep it running? How do you get your money?
So we've been very fortunate over the past few years. We have received bipartisan support from the Nevada legislature. And this year, our funding actually increased thanks to Governor Lombardo and the bipartisan support of our legislature. But when it comes down to it, the reality is that contributions by everyday Nevadans are what really makes it possible for us to serve our veterans.
Well, thank God. And you guys. Do you still need people, though, to donate and help you guys out besides the grants?
Oh, absolutely. We're a nonprofit, so the name of the game for us is constant fundraising. So if you are someone that has that willingness and wants to support our mission, please visit our website, adoptivevetdental.com, and there's an option to donate on there. Whether it's $1, $5, whatever the case happens to be, we appreciate the support of our community, because that's really who we are serving. We want to reinvest those dollars into our local community and our local veterans.
AdoptiveVetDental.com?
That's correct.
All right. And do you have open office hours where folks can know, and not in person or what?
Yes, we have open office hours Monday through Wednesdays, eight to four at the 1301 Cordone office, Suite 100. And the reason why it's not the other 2 days is because that's when we are operating the dental clinic side. So when we're not in the office doing the administrative work, we are actually taking care of our
right there. Quickly. You have the equipment and all?
Not there, at our GMCC campus.
Okay.
Partnership.
All right, awesome. I'm so glad you came out. Craig lined you up for us, and I've heard about it. I've heard about Adoptive Vet Dental, and it's wonderful hearing the good work that's being done and how folks can help support you. Thank you, Eduardo.
Thank you so much, John. We really appreciate being here today.
And thank you for your service, my friend. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm John Potter, the power out in Reno, but the battery on the smartphone is looking pretty good here. 775-884-9910 is our phone number. Oh, my gosh, somebody brought coffee. Coffee, the show is saved. All right, we're going to take a break. Thank you, dear. Oh, my gosh. 99.1 to 92.3 FM Talk.
Fox News Time, 1016.
99.1. The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
All right. Does it work?
It works.
Okay. I can hear myself. I can't hear the radio station. And I'm hearing myself 5 seconds after I say
okay,
something.
Then push number three on all of those across the board.
Okay, let's see here. Okay. No.
Hello.
Well, hello. I don't really need to hear myself anyway, do I?
No, not at all.
All right, so I'm going to turn off my phone. No, I won't turn off the phone because you got to tell me something. I got to hear it, and because I can only hear myself. Oh, this is what my wife has to deal with
all
the time.
Yeah, turn your phone off,
John. Oh, my gosh. It is terrible.
I'm hearing the phone over the air, so yeah, turn your phone off.
Oh, it's like I'm a caller.
That's right.
Hold on a sec. Well, if I do that, then I can't hear from you about what everything.
Well, you'll still be able to talk to me. I'm actually on the air with you right now.
Yeah, but for me to hear you, I have to have the phone up. Do you want me to just turn it off?
Okay. You can't hear me talking through the headphones?
It's disconnected. So, Craig, I'm just going to talk till 10:30 and break for news. And,
okay.
And you'll just have to live with me.
Oh,
that's
God.
What I told them at Channel 2. You just have to live with it. Our next guest is coming up in 10 minutes. He's already in the lobby. Looks like a very interesting person. Earlier, God, it's so good to have the power on. And by the way, sweet Michaela, who is one of my guests in the first hour of the show with Nevada Firearms Academy, came in with a super tall Starbucks coffee. Michaela, if you're listening, I will marry you. I mean, I'm perfectly happy in my marriage, but this was above and beyond all recorded efforts to please me. So yes, I will marry you, Michaela. That's how much I feel about this coffee since I have been deprived here ever since I came in the door at 9. So what are you doing this weekend? We have good movies, and you know what? They can be terrible movies. The air conditioning. People who make bad movies, this is their prime time to sell tickets, because I think a lot of people go to the movies for the air conditioning. Our house, we cannot get it as cold as the movie theaters do. Not in this weather, not when it's 100 degrees. It just, it's an older house and it works hard, but no, you go to the movie theater for air conditioning and the restaurants too. So I take calls about it, but I can't really hear anything going on in the station. So last movie I saw was Boogeyman, and two things, very dark movie. I can't stand these movies where you have to squint and try to make out things in the screen. And mumbling actors drive me nuts. At home, it's play, stop, rewind, play again to hear what the mumbling actor is going to say. I hope that the actors during their strike time off will take some diction classes. Would I think be very positive for their careers. I don't know. The young people seem to understand what these mumbling actors say. It's a sign of age, I guess. I don't know. Speaking of age, I was talking about my childhood and talking about things to do on a weekend. Reminds me of something we used to do all the time when we were young. When we were teens in the 60s, we really didn't plan our weekends around events. If you were like me, you had your Saturday night crowd. I had my Saturday night regulars, the group of good friends, the pack, our crew, our posse. I can still see their faces and hear their voices. When I was younger, my parents hosted dinner parties. Their circle of regulars, taking turns hosting and coming over for dinner parties. The men wearing jackets and ties and sporting combed back hair. The women dresses. Younger folks, I'm not talking about life on another planet. This is how it was. Dad would be at the bar at the end of the dining room, and on two different tables were the metal cups filled with cigarettes, filter side up. The drinks and the food were supplied by the host of the dinner party. And as a kid, I would sit at the top of the staircase in my pajamas on those Saturday nights when my parents, when it was their turn to play host, and I would listen to that jumble of male and female voices and the laughter, the ice clinking in the cocktail glasses, the doorbell ringing as new couples arrived, and they all seemed so carefree. I guess that's why I think of those nights lately, because back then people seemed so secure about things, more easygoing, not as many cares in the world. You know, if you're as old as I am, we had it good then, didn't we? The things most worth valuing, it often turns out, are those we take for granted until they're snatched away. Back then, they were never distracted by messages or news alerts popping up on their phones. The only phones that they had back then were tethered to the wall with this thing called a cord. And on Saturday nights, the phones seldom rang because everybody was present and accounted for. And what was the occasion for these dinner parties? Well, it was the end of another work week. Nothing more or less remarkable than that. No one's house was more than a five-minute drive from the others. This was the life, the dressed-up dinner parties. They were few and far between, even before COVID, which probably killed them for good. But who would have ever thought that a time might come when we would not be with the people we liked the best on a Saturday night? That was a time when friends who loved one another's company would be told to prove it by staying away and somehow be expected to explain that to their kids. But from the top of the stairs, I'll never forget that Saturday night crowd. It was shoulder to shoulder and elbow to elbow in that cramped living room. Living rooms were kind of small back then, all acting like the happiest men and women on earth. And they would be back to do it again at the next house hosting. You could count on it. The dress. Oh, how they dressed. If my dad saw how people dress now, he'd turn over in his grave. So anyway, yeah, I'm a total reminiscing today. I guess that's what happens when you're deprived of coffee. I can't wait for the spot break so I can finally drink what Michaela brought us. That's Craig, I'm glad you lined up guests. That's all I was going to say today. So, I'm not that interesting talking for 3 hours, believe me. But when we come back from Fox News, I'll be able to hear the station and hear Craig telling me that we have all these phone calls waiting to talk to the great John Potter. That's in my mind. We're going to break for Fox News right now. We have our next guest in the lobby waiting to come on. Thank you, Craig, for running everything from Carson City. Man, I can't believe it. We're surviving this show. Halfway mark, folks. We're going to break for Fox News on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth, truth.
Hi, folks. I am on, aren't I, Craig? Hello. Oh, good. Oh, no, say the people. I'm John Potter. We're still putting the studio together because the power was out for an hour from Envy. Oh, thank you, Envy Energy, for bringing back the power. I'm just thinking of the coffee machine. But I cannot hear the radio station. Craig is hearing me on the microphone. So all I can hear is me. I can't hear this day. I just hear me. So it's like my wife says, you can't listen to other people. No, I certainly do. So we have our next guest coming up in 15 minutes. The show is called The Weekend, Live and Local, Sometimes with Power. I'm John Potter. Just talking about movies and why people go to the movies for the air conditioning. And for the people who make awful movies, they love the heat season because tickets are sold. I can hear you on the phone, Craig. So what movies have you seen?
Oh, I would say nothing in the recent past. Probably it's been about a year since I went to a movie.
That, you know, it's been hard because every movie seems to be made for a 20-something. They're all action movies and things. Now, there are two movies I'm interested in. Jennifer Lawrence. What is it called? Hard Up. Hard to Love. We're Hard. Something like that.
I take it back. There was one I did see, and that was the new Tom Cruise Top Gun movie. I did see that when it came out.
That was so last year, I think, wasn't it? Early this year. Tom Cruise, Top Gun, yeah. Well, he's already got Mission Impossible out, you know. It's 2023 there, Craig. You know, I saw a service dog at the movie theater. You and I were talking about service dogs a couple of weeks ago, and you said yes. That all movie theaters take service dogs, right?
Yeah, they are required. A service dog, yes.
I saw it.
A companion or a comfort animal is not a service dog.
Okay.
Or service animal.
Obviously a service dog. This is about a month ago. It was the last Stephen King movie, The Boogeyman. And the man in front of me had his dog sitting next to him. And the dog sat perfectly still. It even seemed like it was really into the film. And when it ended, I told the guy, hey, your dog seemed to really enjoy the movie. And he goes, yeah, I was surprised too. He didn't care much for the book.
Oh, John, I walked right into that one, didn't I?
Well, now you want to turn the power off again, don't you? And so let me see. Let's see how else I can belabor the fact that I'm old. People in coffee shops and on Amtrak trains and buses who play loud action movies on their phones and iPads without headphones. Oh, my gosh. I told this guy in Starbucks once to knock it off, and he looked at me like I was crazy. They have no idea of how to behave in public. Clueless, like, you know, like the nitwits who left the trash all over Tahoe beaches on the 4th.
Nobody taught them. That was ridiculous.
Nobody taught them how to act. It's just outrageous. But back to the movies. Everybody is telling me to go see Sound of Freedom. It's at the Reno Sparks Carson Tahoe Theaters with a lot of showtimes. They did not expect it to become such a big hit. I have something to say about that in about 2 minutes. But more things going on in town. Our town continues today. We have a new restaurant that's opening at 11 o'clock this morning in Sparks. It's the Super Chicks at Prater and McCarran. I wonder if that's going to be at the old Sizzler. But anyway, that's at 11 o'clock this morning. Two Saturdays from today, on the 29th, we have the Reno Garlic Fest at Dick Taylor Memorial Park on Beach Street. And it's kind of strange to have a Reno Garlic fast, because unlike Gilroy, California, you know, we don't have fields around the city growing garlic. It's kind of like having a big whale sculpture in the city plaza downtown representing Reno's famed whaling history. Space whales, the proverbial fish out of water. But did you know Gilroy does not do the garlic festival anymore? I know, I was so disappointed. I've always wanted to go, and this was going to be the year that I went. They still call it the Garlic Festival in Gilroy, but it's not like it was. There's a concert and a dinner you buy tickets to, but there's no big spread out outdoor event with hundreds of booths like before. I mean, it was huge. People flocked by the tens of thousands for freshly harvested garlic cloves, and they had garlic ice cream and garlic bubble gum, you name it. Gilroy in Central California is still the epicenter of garlic production here in the U.S., and it was a generation ago when they started the festival, the quirky festival that celebrated all things garlic. What happened? Well, there was a mass shooting there at the event a few years ago, if you remember. The pandemic lockdowns, of course, did their part, but the number one reason why the big event and Gilroy is just a concert and dinner now is, you can probably relate to this, development. New homes are encroaching on the open fields that served as parking lots. The festival, that piece of Americana that I always wanted to go to, is no more. Okay, Sound of Freedom. It's from a little movie studio in Provo, Utah, and it came to Reno last week. Sound of Freedom tells the story of a guy who rescues children from sex trafficking in Central America. It has been well received by audiences, but roundly condemned by the liberal progressive media. One survey shows that 97% of the people who actually saw the movie Sound of Freedom loved it, a staggeringly high number. But the Washington Posts, the Rolling Stones, and the CNNs of the world have all vilified it, mocking its premise, actors, and viewers. I have received good reviews from people who have seen it. I was at a high school reunion party last night at Tamarack Junction. Gosh, it was a fun time. A nice guy who was a fan of my past work came up and said, I must see this movie. And he said, have you noticed that the people who tell us that adult-themed books in elementary school libraries and drag queen story times are a good thing are the same people who say that this movie condemning child sex trafficking is a bad thing? I mean, it's true. The left-leaning media has tried to brand Sound of Freedom as extremist or somehow associated with the far right. I have not seen the movie. If you have, I invite you to call and tell us what you thought of it. But on the outside, what I'm seeing is the politics of personal destruction used against this new movie. Here's the interesting history behind Sound of Freedom. It was actually made 5 years ago. Why the delay? The company that produced it was shortly thereafter bought by Disney, which immediately put the movie on the shelf, choosing to take their $14 million investment as a loss without trying to recoup it by any sort of release. They wouldn't even stream the movie. And a good indication of where this movie stands with the powers that be, the media. There's something about this movie that sets off the left. The entertainment shows ignore it, and movie critics have given it thumbs down. I checked IMDb this morning when I had power. It has the overall critics rating of just 51 out of 100 give it thumbs up. Big publications like Rolling Stone gave it just 20 out of 100, like 2 out of 10. But over 17,000 viewers on IMDb who went to see it gave it 85 out of 100. Yeah. Yeah, I know the critics are always wrong, right? But this is a huge difference.
Except when it comes to your show.
The popular culture masters have decided to destroy this movie. The question is why? Is it because it was made by Latinos and Christians? Is it because open borders provide the easy pipeline for the child sex traffickers? Personally, I believe that's the reason, but you may have another theory. Otherwise, I don't get it. In a movie that pits innocent kids against the people who exploit them, why don't critics of this movie come down on the side of the children? Why are those same people ignoring or attacking a movie highlighting the internationally recognized problem of human sex trafficking? You know what? Meanwhile, we see the efforts to bring gender confusion to children with drag queen story time at our libraries in town, and books with very adult themes to school libraries. Parents who think those books should not be there are dismissed as haters, and book banners by the media, the teachers' unions, sometimes the government. Is this movie important? I think it would be for everyone, because by every estimate, there are millions of children being trafficked for sex, with about 6 million forced into prostitution in India and China alone. Human trafficking for cheap labor, whether it's for cheap labor and sex, is a larger global criminal business than arms sales. Maybe a lot of drug smuggling, too. Of all humans trafficked for sex, about a third are children. It's the slavery of our day, with much higher numbers than the Atlantic slave trade to North America in the 1700s and 1800s. Pedophiles and child molesters in the United States provide the market demand for a great deal of the sexual exploitation of children. American sexual tourism to Asia, Latin America, and Eastern Europe, and the massive downloading and merchandising of child porn pump dollars into a world of evil, and progressive liberals are denouncing a movie that brings that to our attention, the public's attention. It's almost as if they don't want light shined on this particular social evil, and that's unacceptable, because God's children are not for sale, and I know how the power of public scrutiny can do a lot of good. The Biden administration has chosen to make trans rights one of the hallmarks of its foreign policy, pressuring other countries to adapt that view. Why can't the United States also use its power to pressure foreign countries to better protect their children? Isn't that a much bigger issue? If Joe Biden wants 87,000 new federal law enforcement agents to go after taxpayers, why can't he more aggressively go after the people who receive and share child porn? In a world where it seems progressives are moving towards stretching tolerance, diversity, and inclusion to protect. I think you know where I'm getting at. To protect pedophiles, the attack on a movie that reminds the world of how violent and evil pedophilia really is more than troubling. It's indicative of the evil that may lay at the heart of many in power. And that's not some kooky far-right theory. I think it's a reasonable conclusion to draw. But even though they hate Sound of Freedom, their disdain for it has actually ended up bringing far more attention to it than it would have otherwise received. Pretty amazing, too, for a movie about children and pedophiles and good and evil. You know which side does the U.S. and our esteemed movie critics and media really stand on. Now, that I was just rambling. I wrote two paragraphs. When I had power and when I could see by the light, I wrote two paragraphs, and I went on too long again. But I will see this movie, and I'm interested in hearing what you have to say, too. So we're going to take a break. If we get some calls, hopefully I'll hear him. And our next guest, too, is coming up. I'm John Potter. The show is called The Weekend. It's live and local. It's every Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 10:48.
Live, local, FM Talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
How's it going? Oh, hey, I hear the wonderful world of KKFT is in my headphones. Awesome. I've been deprived. Speaking of being deprived, Ronald is here representing. I'm sorry, this has been a crazy morning. What was your last name again, sir?
Ronald Peak.
Ronald Peak. All right, just speak right up to that microphone. Ronald Peak. Yes, we talked on the phone about you coming here representing the American Hope Foundation. Ronald has had a rough morning, too, because he has worked all night. All night at what, your regular job?
Yep.
Okay, so you, of all people, you've been working overnight, and here you are. You understand the importance of having a working coffee machine, don't you?
I absolutely do. I have a wonderful Keurig that works great.
Why doesn't NV Energy and KKFT understand the extreme need I have for it? Anyway.
No, I completely agree with you. I'm a Red Bull advocate, too, though, so.
Oh, you're into the hard stuff. Red Bull and coffee together?
No, I have not tried that. That's all right, might be too much.
We're fellow addicts. Ronald Peak, okay, American Hope Foundation. You have an event coming up, right? We'll get to that, but I okay, good, because this will be fun for you and beneficial to the American Hope Foundation, which is... What is American Hope Foundation, my friend?
So we are a nonprofit organization that we provide housing, clothes, food, medical care, job placement for disabled veterans. And we provide secure housing for survivors of domestic trauma and human trafficking victims.
Oh, my gosh. I was just talking about human trafficking and sex trafficking, how it's underreported.
Have you seen the new movie?
I was just talking about the movie. No, I haven't.
I haven't seen it yet either. I heard it's amazing.
I've heard it's amazing, too. I was just bringing up the fact that the media has shunned it.
Yeah.
I can't figure this out. Is it because it came from Utah? Is it because it was made by Christians? I think that's the reason. But it was also made by Latinos. But I think the left does not like to see any criticism of open borders. And the open borders are the real source of child sex trafficking.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to go on and on about this movie. But yeah, Ronald, I will go see it. Did you see Boogeyman?
I have not.
Okay. We're not here to talk about movies.
I don't have much time to watch TV.
So your foundation does everything so important. How do you deal with human trafficking in Reno, Nevada?
So what we're doing is, we are all over the country. We're in Florida. We're in Las Vegas.
You're nationwide operating.
Right. So we're in our infancy. So we're only 6 months old. We're just starting it. We're opening up places all over the country. The secure housing is a little more difficult because it has to be hidden, right? Like, you can't put human trafficking victims somewhere where people know about it, right? So it's a little bit more difficult, but we work with Homeland Security. And
so you're feet on the ground on this, right?
Absolutely. I am. I have people all in multiple different states. We're trying to, so there's a program in Vegas called SafeNest, and I want to try to replace them because they're not really good, but that's where like Metro goes to. If there's any sort of situation like this, they go to them because they're the quote unquote specialist.
I know it's underreported, but how big a problem is child trafficking or sex trafficking and or in Reno, Nevada?
I don't think it's that big here. It's just, keep in mind, Las Vegas is like the number three sex trafficking city in America. And it obviously bleeds up here, but it's not that bad here. Here we're trying to focus more on the veterans.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have the military base right here in Fallon. Mm-hmm. That's a big community, and it's more diversified up here. It's an older town. It's an older money town. Mm-hmm. It's an old boys club up here.
All right.
You know, it's a little different.
Well, even though it's not a huge factor, do you have a personal story about a trafficking victim and how your organization got involved? And
not trafficking, but I have some close family friends and just some close friends that were victims of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And it touches you because, like, a friend of mine, she's here. She lives in Reno.
Yeah.
And she was in a horrible relationship. And she felt stuck. She had kids.
She why didn't she get out of that situation?
Because she reached out to, like, the organizations that are here in town.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, well, you have to put his information on this paper and, you know, all this other stuff basically to verify that he's doing what he's doing. But then they reach out to that person. Well, now that person.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's how they do it. And it doesn't make any sense. My nonprofit will never do that. She will be anonymous. I will never reach out to the abuser. That doesn't make any sense.
That's horrifying. Well, listen, we'll get more into this. I want to hear about what goes on in the city that people do not realize, how you got started and why, how people can help. Do we have companies backing you up? Do you get some sponsorships? But also, yes, let's focus in on that domestic violence issue and what you also do for vets here in town. We got a break for Fox News. I'm John Potter. Phone number 775-884-9910. On 99.1 to 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:58.